Well, greetings to you all this morning. It's been a blessing to be here already. I think we'd have probably heard enough to encourage us for a week, wouldn't he? If we look at the life of Cain and Abel, and the Word of God is pretty simple, you know, when it talks about if you do well or if you don't do well. I mean, yeah. Thank you for that devotional, Brother Michael. I was encouraged by that. Also, the children's lesson. You don't have to be old for the Lord to use you. Young children, when you listen to your parents, or you're a faithful servant where you're at, God sees those things. Well, this morning, for a message, we're going to be in a couple of different places here. The title of the message, if I can look this up here, comes out of Romans chapter 12. Maybe I won't say the title right away. I want to give you a little picture to ponder in your mind. If you ever go down the road or you go by a junkyard, you see vehicles that are have been wrecked. What do you think? Wonder if that was a drunk. That got, you know, there's all kinds of things that could have happened. We know different people had some accidents here in the church that past winter. But when you see a vehicle, you don't know the story of it. You kind of have a little, sometimes you form pictures maybe in your mind, you know, what could have happened? Was there a drunk involved in this situation? Was somebody wasn't paying attention, or was it just an accident? Was it, sometimes things happen and you're totally unaware, or you weren't expecting it. But the Bible says here in Romans to think soberly. When somebody is sober, what are they? They're alert and awake, right? Well, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. If you have a Bible, you can turn there with me. We sang the first two verses there in chapter 12. I wasn't really going to read those, but I think they kind of go along with the chapter, so I'll read that. We're not going to read quite the whole chapter here. We're just kind of go through this. Why don't we have a word of prayer before we go into this? Father in heaven, we just thank you again for your word. Thank you that your word teaches us as we walk by faith. Lord, sometimes we don't understand the things that happen in our lives, but Lord, we thank you that as we surrender our hearts and lives to you, that you can teach us and conform us more into your image. Transform us into your image, Lord. Thank you for your word that is able to do that. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that can illuminate the scriptures to our hearts and minds to choose the path of righteousness, and that we can be heirs together with you. Thank you for your promises to us in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's in chapter 12, and we know it's a very popular, or I would say it's a very common verses that we hear a lot. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, the world wants to, if you look at the at verse 2, the world wants to conform you, to make him like them. But here it says, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You know, as we read God's word, it transforms us. God has one way that he wants us to go, and the world has another way that they want us to go. And which one are we going to listen to? The world in general fits with how we're born. It takes us the way that the sin nature, it's pretty much pleasing to what the sin nature that we were born with. But God's way is transforming if we surrender our hearts and lives to him. Be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind. And in order for us to have our minds renewed, it comes by listening to God's word, listening and applying it in our lives. But then in verse 3 it says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Soberly, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And how do you know when you're thinking too much of yourself? It doesn't say not to think of yourself at all. It just says not to think of himself more than he should. There's a certain balance. I mean, when we do something, when we want our children to do something, we ask them to do something, we expect them to have, because we tell them to do it, we expect them to have some confidence in doing it, that they will go and do it. And the same way with us older people, you know, when we do, there's a certain level of confidence that we have when we do something, that we can do it with confidence. But here it says not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Or how does it say? But to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man. Why does he say that? Well, if you notice, let's look at the word sober. I was thinking of humility and sober. I think there's a little difference in between sober and humility. Sober says, is the opposite, I just wrote down, it's the opposite of drunk or intoxicated. You're alert, you're awake. The meaning of it in the 1828 dictionary says, without intemperance, without enthusiasm. So don't think about yourself enthusiastically. I mean, it's okay to be confident in what you're doing, but are we thinking of ourselves? Here it says, the 1828 dictionary says, without enthusiasm. When you think of yourself, are you enthused about yourself? Most of us probably aren't. By God's grace, I hope you're not. But but then there's also the thing of, you know, when we're God's children, we're also confident that the things that we have confidence in him, not in ourselves. Another one is without intemperance, passion, coolly, calmly, moderately. This is soberly, to think soberly of yourself. Gravely, seriously, think seriously of yourself. I don't know how many of you saw that list that Eli sent around about investing in yourself. At first it almost sounds like when you invest in yourself, it almost sounds like we might be selfish, but don't think of, one of them would be, one of, I think one of them might have been, don't think of yourself more than you should. That's investing in yourself. Don't give yourself undue credit, right? Think soberly. This verse here, to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And as we keep, the next verse says, for, then it's like, because of this, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. I just wrote down that to consider that the kingdom of God is made up of other people besides myself. I think that's why we need to think soberly. The kingdom of God is made up, and we see that as we go through these next verses here in Romans. There's other people that God has. If he would have given, the reason we need to think soberly of ourselves is because we just have a little part. We know a little, we only know in part. We don't see the whole picture. And it's very interesting how here in Romans, Paul gives us, he uses the body to illustrate kind of why we should think soberly. Because there's lots of members, there's different members, and they have different giftings. We see this, let's read this here. It says, verse 5 says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. He's just mentioning the different, there's different parts in the body. For this reason, we need to think soberly of ourselves. There's a certain, you know, if we think soberly of ourselves, we have a chance to learn from other people. Verse 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, and bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. I think that's as far as we're going to read. But here we see there's lots of different operating members in a body. And the more I think of myself, the less I'm going to benefit from other members in the body. I especially like the last verse, verse 16, where it says, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. You know, if you always take the low road, you're safer there than you are trying to think of yourself more highly than you should. You're trying to make yourself bigger than you really are. Condescend to men of low estate. Now, what all does that mean? I mean, be willing to be a nobody, or be willing to minister to other people. As I said before, you know, when we're sober, we're awake. When we're intoxicated, we're under the influence of something else. What are things that can be in that I can be intoxicated or under the influence of? We see that in different parts, different places in the Bible. There was the place where in John, where Jesus was talking to the Jews, and they were. Jesus said, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God." They were what you might call intoxicated with self-righteousness. We can be intoxicated with self-righteousness or the lust of the world and all that it offers, power, fame, self. Intoxicated with that's what alcohol does. It brings us under it. You can't reason with a person that is under the influence of alcohol. Usually they mumble stuff that doesn't make sense. I had to think of Pilgrim's Progress. I forget what were the names of the guys that were sitting beside the road, slothful and presumption. A couple of those. They were sitting beside the road, and Christian, and I think it was Hopeful, came upon him, and they said, "Hey, you guys are sleeping on the road. You got to get up. The enemy goes out seeking whom he may devour." And they tried to wake him up. They just kind of muttered senseless things and didn't really make sense what they were doing. Same way with an intoxicated person doesn't comprehend the hour of need or the hour of urgency. And I think if you think of us as Americans, I mean, we can be intoxicated with very easily. By money, by fame, by what the world has to offer. God forbid that we would do that, but to me it's always interesting. I mean, I listened to Pilgrim's Progress quite a bit over the years, and you know, when those guys, they couldn't wake them up. God has to wake them up, I don't know. And they tried to. Somebody, I think when they tried to wake them up, and then someone said, "Well, you might hurt them." Said, "Well, a little hurting them now is better than eternal damnation." When God brings them sends them into eternal hell. As I said before, sober is a little different from humility, but I think if we're sober, then we're also, there's an element of humility there. I'll just read the meaning of humility. It says, before honor is humility, that's in Proverbs 15, serving the Lord with the humility of mind, act of submission, freedom from pride and arrogance, humbleness of mind, a moderate estimate of one's own worth in theology. Humility consists in lowliness of mind, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God. Self-abasement, penitence for sin, and submission to the divine will. As the more I looked at this, you know, in Romans, you know, a person that is sober is a teachable person. When a person that is drunk or intoxicated, you can't teach them anything, right? That goes for the physical and I think the spiritual too. When we're intoxicated with sin, if there's something in our lives that keeps us from understanding or from learning from other people even, or from God's word being able to make sense to me, am I intoxicated? Is there another influence in my life that is controlling me? For an example of this, I thought I would read the little parable in Luke chapter 18, I think it is. Yeah, Luke chapter 18. It's a very familiar parable. I appreciated the parable that Michael was reading this morning. A parable gets us to think a little bit, right? Chapter 18, it says, the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And he spake this, verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Do we ever do that? Do we ever think of ourselves more than, we wouldn't despise other people, but we trust? Do I trust in myself more than? It says, and I think this is interesting, that Luke is kind of specific. This is why he said this parable. He says, because certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Because we tend to sometimes, when we learn things, we tend to kind of think, well, maybe we have some things figured out. But I kind of like to take the thought of, when you see a needy situation or especially when my wife and I were over in Africa here a little over a month ago, and all these Muslim people, I think I don't know if I despised them. I pitied them, I guess. But I almost feel like it's an easy way to look down on them, because I think the best way is that is me, but for the grace of God. I mean, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would be in the same. I mean, I just look at, why don't we just read the Bible? Why don't you just read the Bible? But there's a veil over their eyes. But Lord, help us not to trust in ourselves and despise others. Verse 10 says, two men, this is the parable, two men went into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, was it wrong for the guy to, it wasn't wrong that he prayed. It's not wrong to pray. But he had such a high opinion of himself. He wasn't thinking soberly of himself. He was thinking in comparison to other people. If we think soberly, we are thinking in comparison to what I am, to what God has given me. That is sobering. If we think of the sacrifice that the Lord God has made for me in order that I can be heirs together with him. I mean, it doesn't leave room for any comparing If that reality is in my heart, it doesn't leave room for me to boast over my fellow human being. There's other verses like in Thessalonians, I'm just going to read a couple of verses. It says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Sober. When an intoxicated person goes out, he's so disconnected from what is going on in reality that he crashes. He has casualties. I mean, we see spiritual casualties in people's lives too. Does that mean they were not sober? Could be. Lord, help us not to have spirit to make wrecks spiritually in our lives, but to be sober and watchful. If we're intoxicated with something that is not according to the Bible, we can easily have spiritual casualties. But let us who are of the day, are we of the day? Are we of putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet, and the hope of salvation? Peter says that, he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And then another part of this was in another chapter. This was in 1 Peter chapter 1 and also in chapter 4. Then in chapter 5, there's three verses where it says, it actually has the humble with the sober. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Like Brother Michael shared this morning, if there's a lion outside the door, would we go out? Well, if you're sleeping, if you're not sober, you know, sometimes people, you hear people sleepwalking, they're not really sober. They'll go out and do things and go back to bed, and what they did during the night. That's what you would call a sleeping. Are we spiritually? Are we awake? Are we just sleepwalking? Be vigilant. I think Peter has a right to pen these words about being vigilant, because when everybody else is going to deny him, but he is not going to. But when the test came, he also denied Christ. And I think some of Peter's writing comes from a heart of true humility and brokenness after he denied his Lord and Master. Another one I was thinking of in Pilgrim's Progress to think soberly is, I think it was ignorance that had such a high opinion of himself that he just thought, if he just has these good thoughts, then everything is okay. And Christian tried to wake him up. You know, if you have to have your thoughts need to agree with God's word. And I had to think of that verse in John where it says, Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. It doesn't say you can get up in the morning and do your day's work or anything like that. He says, without me you can do nothing. That's thinking soberly. When you get up in the morning, do you think of that? Thank you, Lord, for letting me wake up again. You're the one that gave me breath. You're the one that gives me life. Think soberly of yourself. It is by God's mercies that we are not consumed. In Acts, when Paul was brought before the council there, or the ruler, the people had caught him and put him in prison, and he came before King Agrippa, and in Acts, this was in Acts 26, Festus told Paul, "Too much learning has made you mad." So he was saying, Festus was telling Paul that he's mad, he's not sober. And then Paul says, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness." Paul was trying to bring what really is important. He was trying to, because you might say these Festus and King Agrippa had the world, they had power. They were intoxicated with what you might call power. And King Agrippa, Paul asked him, you know, don't you believe the gospel or the prophets? And King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That was Paul's heart. He said he's speaking the words of truth and soberness. What is important in my life? Am I sober? Am I under intoxication of something else? Is something else controlling me that I can't understand God's word? Be sober, be vigilant. I thought also I would read in Titus. Talks a lot about the aged men and the aged women and the young men. It admonishes them to be sober. Titus chapter 2 says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober." Or another word for that is sensible. "Grave, temperate, sound in the faith, in charity, and in patience." And it doesn't let the women off the hook either. It says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." It's interesting here in verse 3, it says, "not given to much wine," because wine takes away your senses of right and, or it can take away your senses of right and wrong. Turning away from soberness, "that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children." The older women are to teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. You know, sometimes in a family when things get difficult or things get kind of chaotic, wouldn't it be kind of easy sometimes to just drink some wine and forget all this stuff? But here it says the older women to teach the younger ones to be sober, to love. This is what God wants. Just because it gets difficult sometimes doesn't mean we can zone out. We can get something else. There's another drug to zone out. Well, when it gets difficult, that's when it's the opportunity for God to show himself strong. I've said before probably, and I've probably say it again and many more times, is the reason that we're made weak is because so that we have to depend on God, and then he comes strong in us. You know, when we are strong in him, then we can boast in him. It's not because of what I have done, it's because of what he had. If he would have made us strong enough to handle everything, then we wouldn't have to depend on him. But because he made us, what did Paul say? Your strength, or God told Paul, your strength is made perfect in weakness. When we realize our weakness, and then we realize how strong God is, then we depend on him. Verse 5. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Now, who's a young man here? It said the old man and the old women, the older women, and then the younger women. And here it says, the young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Or it says self-controlled. Young men are strong, can do a lot of things. But here it says, exhort you to be sober. Sober-minded. You have a sober mind, young men? Sober-minded. Awake. Just because God gives me strength, because I'm strong right now, consider your grandpa. He was there too at one time. Be sober. Young men, be sober-minded. Realize that the way you are right now, physically, is not always the way you're going to be, because we see it all the time. Ask your dad, ask your grandpa. Be sober-minded. It's good that young men are strong, but honor the Lord for what he has given you, for the strength he gave you. And then it says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, in showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Just because you're strong and can run off and do your own thing doesn't mean that you shouldn't obey your master if you're working for somebody. Verse 10, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Powerful verse there. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Live alert in a world that someday is not going to be here. Sometimes we I just heard of a, was it yesterday, I was listening to a message of a man that left his family 20 years ago. And I have no idea what it was. Why, you know, I think, was it just, he said he's done with God. He doesn't want anything to do with him anymore. And his son-in-law had just gotten a message. This was just a couple weeks ago, just got a message. And I think he was in the hospital. And he had written a card to his daughter and told him that, pray for me. He was coming out of, he was becoming sober, right? Was he for 20 years, was he intoxicated with self to the extent that he didn't want anything to do with God? That could be me, but for the grace of God. I mean, yeah. Heard of another young boy that also, I think he was probably, might be getting close to 25, 30 years that he left home, and he had a heart attack or something, and his brother and prayed with him in the hospital. His brother asked him if he's right with God, and he said he's not. But all these years, you know, we can live under the intoxication of the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But when reality of life, when God brings something physical, ailment or something, some condition in our body, and we realize I'm not forever going to be here, it brings a reality. It shakes us out of intoxication and into soberness. Think of yourself soberly. Are we thinking soberly of myself? I like that the verse that I read in Peter, close here in just a minute here, where it says that end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. How do you do that? Watch unto prayer. I mean, just because you think you understand, be sure to pray about it. Because sometimes as I said before, we only see a little bit. Each of us individually, we just see in part. But when we have, like there, when it talks about in Romans, where there's different gifts, different parts in the body, if we are teachable, we're able to learn from other people. And that's why God has made it that way, that we can benefit from the other members in the body, is if we live soberly, we consider ourselves soberly. We consider, as it says there in Romans, think soberly of yourself. I'm young and strong now, but I might not be next week. I mean, you don't have to be old to, was it, pick on Willie here. He was in the hospital here a couple of weeks ago. Even if you're young, you can still end up in the hospital. Some of those things sober us up. You know, God could let something happen to me that I would be in the hospital tomorrow. It's only by God's grace that I am here today. We have nothing to boast of. I like that song, Let Him That Glorieth Glory in This That He Knows Me. I think that's in Malachi. Let me read that in closing. I guess I didn't have the right one. This is the one in Malachi is the one where it talks about, and they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. These are people that were thinking soberly of themselves. They were thinking of the Lord all the time. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Think of what the Lord has done for me, and spake often one to another. We do good to encourage one another to think soberly and to, as it says there in is it in Peter? Okay, I had it in my notes here. Okay, no, it's in Thessalonians where it talks about putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. Faith, if you take the attribute of faith, faith isn't always when you understand everything. And I heard a guy say that he always thought that he had to have an answer for everything, and the right answer maybe or something. But he said that he's old enough now that he doesn't have to have the answer for everything, and he's not. And he was talking more about humility too, which I think is also a soberly thinking right of yourself. I remember him saying that in a brothers' meeting one time, he kind of gave his opinion about something, and another guy after him said just the opposite. And he said he didn't, it would have bothered him, but he said now he looks at it, there's different parts in the body, and there it brings a different perspective. You know, when somebody sees something different than myself, we can be upset, or we can soberly realize that I just shared what I saw. And if you listen to some others, if you like it says there in Romans, if we listen to what the other parts of the body are communicating, we can learn. And we don't have to be threatened. So I guess my encouragement is to think soberly of myself, to realize that I only see in part. But one day when the Lord calls us home, we can see the bigger picture. And the Lord help us to continue to, think soberly and to walk humbly before the Lord our God. We don't have anything to boast of, but we glory in him and in his righteousness. So may the Lord be honored, and God bless each one of you.